I'm talking to Jane Mulholland, running for Court of Appeals. Welcome to Women's Focus.
Thank you. I really appreciate your having me here.
I wanted to start by talking a little bit about what you have done in your past. You've been doing some interesting things, so let's start with that.
I am on the court now. Okay. I was appointed on June 20th by the governor. Most of my experience has been the last 30-some years here in New Mexico, where I have been an appellate lawyer. That means that I handled cases after they were tried, arguing them in front of our Court of Appeals and Supreme Court. And that gave me the opportunity to work with trial lawyers and their clients from every county in the state, because those are Court of Appeals and Supreme Court, as you know, are statewide courts and hear every type of case from every district court in the state. So I have had a large amount of experience in basically every area of law. I started out doing civil rights law and labor law on the union side, and then the appeals I've done, you know, there are some 400 appeals that I have written briefs in, and more than 100 of them have resulted in published decisions in our Court of Appeals or Supreme Court. And that has been, you know, in my view, really a conversation with our appellate courts about the law of New Mexico in many areas. Mm-hmm. I've represented homeowners in mortgage foreclosure actions during the mortgage foreclosure crisis, and one of my cases was decided by the Supreme Court, giving some more protections to homeowners. I've done consumer protection. I've done labor law. I've done automobile accident injuries, other torts, many cases involving statutory interpretation of what it is our legislature meant the policy in New Mexico to be, in lots of various contracts cases, even some criminal cases.
Well, I was thinking before that, when you worked with the BASLON.
After I graduated from law school, I spent about 10 years in Washington, D.C., working for what was then called the Mental Health Law Project and is now the BASLON Center for Mental Health Law. Those were in the days when the what's now called the Education Act for Individuals with Disabilities had just been passed. And we were working together with the regulatory agencies to get the regulations written that would implement that law. And I also filed an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief in the U.S. Supreme Court in the Rowley case, which became the leading case interpreting that statute and applying it. And, you know, it clearly is something that has made a huge difference around the country.
And it must have been exciting work, especially right after school.
Yeah, it was really exciting, you know, to be in Washington, D.C. in those days and to feel like there were things that were happening that were very positive and that you could contribute to. At that point, the disability rights movement really was the civil rights movement of its day. You know, I had gone to college during what I call the first civil rights movement, and that had really been what inspired me to become a lawyer. Oh. Watching all those brave judges and lawyers really stand up for equal rights. And out of that movement, just a little later, came also the disability rights movement. People realized that children with any sort of difference or disability were not in school in many districts. Even a child that simply had to use a wheelchair would be denied access. They'd say there was no ramp and they couldn't get them in, let alone children with learning disabilities where they needed something a little bit different to be equal. Those were the issues we were dealing with. And I did bring those here as well. I was a hearing officer for special education in New Mexico for 26 years.
The Court of Appeals is a place that kind of welcomed women.
There certainly were a number of women judges who I greatly admire and consider mentors who were on that court, including, you know, then Judge Minsner, who did then also serve on the Supreme Court. but spent many years first on the Court of Appeals.
Yes.
And Judge Celia Foy Castillo is another one who I think has been a fabulous jurist and is a mentor to me. You know, those are the ones that were a little bit earlier. And since then, there obviously have been many more women that have followed in their footsteps.
One of the questions I've been asking is, why be a judge?
Well, I think because I really believe in the importance of a strong judicial system and in ensuring that people in New Mexico do have equal rights under the law and ensuring that the policies our legislature adopts really get implemented the way they should. And I felt like my experience was perfect in terms of being able to be an effective judge and that I was qualified to serve in that way more than most of the other ways I could imagine. So that's what I'm hoping to do.
Well, tell me about your deciding to go into the law, because from what you say on your webpage, you never thought of that as something that you would want to do.
I am part of the generation of women where when I was a teenager, it just wasn't a possibility. It didn't even cross my mind. I grew up in a rural community, and I think there was one lawyer in town. People joked that he would represent both sides because there was no other lawyer. But it did bring home later the need for people to go into law and be willing to serve rural communities and, you know, to really serve people rather than just representing large corporations in the big cities. And by the time I went to law school, as I mentioned, it was sort of the middle to nearing the end of this, what I'm calling the first civil rights movement, because I think we're in the middle of the second, and watching the important role that judges and lawyers were playing in very courageously ensuring that the law was obeyed and were instrumental in changing the way things worked in the country in a very good way. And I was lucky that by the time I was ready to graduate from college, law schools had begun accepting women in more significant numbers. I mean, it had only been a few years before where at most 5 or 10% of a class would be women. But in the year that I was accepted to law school, I think it was closer to 25%, which was a huge improvement and really made it a real possibility.
It was so that you could do some of the things that you were inspired to do by being a lawyer. That was the idea that you got while you were in college.
That's right. I found the whole separation of powers in our Constitution really an incredibly intelligent, beautiful system. And I wanted to be part of seeing that work for the people of the country, you know, making sure that government acted the way it was supposed to act and that people were treated equally throughout the country.
What do you think about the judicial system in New Mexico, since you've been working on cases from all over the state?
I think the appellate courts in New Mexico have been really wonderful for most of my career, the last 20 or 30 years. I am a member of fellow, I guess they call it, of the American Academy of Appellate Lawyers. And those are lawyers who do appeals from states all over the country. And I would brag at any national meeting about how good our appellate courts were. And that has been true. They have been smart. They've been thoughtful. They have written well-reasoned opinions, and they have been compassionate and respectful, which is not always true in the appellate courts, either in other states or in some of our federal courts. And I have been very proud of them. And I think that's another reason I wanted to do this. I want to help continue that tradition.
You want to keep that up. Yeah. I can imagine that because you're away from the actual plaintiff. You're sort of one step away when you're handling the appeals. And it's not as though they are before you and you see their plight.
Well, you do, but it's in writing, you're reviewing the transcript in the district court. So you do still see what the plight of those individuals are, but you also have the opportunity to spend more time thinking about how the legislature or the Constitution intends that the law apply to correct those problems. You know, you're looking for errors that were made by the trial court primarily in the application of the law. We're not finding facts anymore. We're accepting the facts that the district court found at trial and saying, has the law been correctly applied to this situation?
What do you do if you think that the lawyer just made a big mistake and wasn't any good?
We do a lot of research and work to try to compensate for that, I think. You know, we still, if it's possible, try to decide the case for the client in the way that the law requires. There are some situations where it's not possible and where the rules of appeals end up kicking in and saying that, you know, the appellate court won't write your arguments for you if you really haven't raised these issues at all. So it's drawing a line there between whether there's enough there that you can fairly understand what they're getting at, even if it's not perfect, and still decide the case, or whether you have to just throw up your hands and say, the appellate rules say that we can't decide this because you haven't raised this issue, or you haven't briefed this issue, or you're raising a different issue than you raised in the district court, and that's not okay. You have to give the trial court the opportunity to decide it first. So there are a number of rules of appeals that determine whether it's possible to decide it. And if it's not, then we use those rules and either get sent back for that error to be corrected, or sometimes it can't be corrected and the client loses the appeal.
Okay, so then you just deny it then.
Yeah, if there really is no argument or it's not raised. Because we can't take new evidence. And so, for example, if the evidence isn't there on the question they're raising, we can't go ahead and decide it. We can't take that evidence now and correct the problem.
That must be really frustrating.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, lawyers generally around the state do a pretty good job.
Okay. What about working with the other lawyers in the appeals court? Because it isn't as though you're doing something on your own as you would be in a different court, you know, making a decision.
Right.
It's getting together and making a decision, isn't it?
That's right. And I think that the decisions of law are complex enough that it is really useful to have us deciding cases in panels of three, where there is someone else who, if you're off track, can say you're off track, or if they're off track, you get to weigh in and discuss it. And I think most of our higher courts, both the federal courts and the state courts, have recognized that you get better decisions with a panel like that working together. And so, you know, the federal appellate court, the circuit courts have three judges also deciding cases in general, and then the Supreme Court, of course, has nine, and in our state court, there are five, who now all decide all cases together. In the old days, the Supreme Court sometimes would sit in a panel of three, but that really doesn't happen anymore. Everything's decided by all five.
So that must be a good system, I would think.
Yes, I think it's worked really well.
Are you thinking that this is what you'll want to do, or do you think that you might want to go and teach at some point or do something like that?
No, I think this is what I want to do. You know, I'm at a point in my career where I think this really will be the culmination of it, and that this is what I'm best suited for and this is the way I can best serve. I did joke to the Judicial Commission that by the time I got done spending, you know, a decade or so on the court, I might be old enough to think about running for president. But I wasn't sure. Yeah, I really did think about it. I had been approved by the Judicial Commission before, both for one of the openings on the Supreme Court and for another Court of Appeals position. And I, you know, there is a Supreme Court position coming up, and before I applied for the Court of Appeals position, I gave that a lot of thought and decided that this was the position where I could be most useful. Mm-hmm. To the people of New Mexico. I am not planning to apply for the Supreme Court or any other position.
That's interesting because I think people think of Court of Appeals as a step to the Supreme Court, but it really isn't. It's a really different situation. You're really doing a different kind of job.
There are some similarities, but there's, in addition to deciding cases in the Supreme Court, there also is a lot of work helping to administer the courts and to oversee the court system and make sure everything's working correctly. I mean, we've seen a lot of that in terms of the court ruling on how the courts will be run during the COVID crisis and all of that. And it's been the Supreme Court that's been doing all of that work. And so I think I'm probably better suited to deciding cases and, you know, not be an administrator part of the time.
It seems as though you're really interested in interpreting the laws of New Mexico and writing how they should be viewed and how they should work. And that's
right.
What you're doing.
And I think it's something we need. We're a young state. And when you look at the law books for New York or Massachusetts or one of the eastern states, they cover a whole wall. And New Mexico's covers sort of one bookshelf. And the problem with that is that there are many, many issues of law that have not been decided. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody needs to know what it is that the legislature meant when they said certain things and how it's to be applied. It's important for business. It's important for our economy. It's important for individuals to know if they have a right, you know, if their rights are being violated. So I would like to see our courts making good decisions about those issues and publishing them so that our citizens know how things are supposed to work and what rights they have.
Well, that sounds exciting. Thank you for explaining.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.